Genesis chapter 39. We're into our fourth lesson on Joseph's journeys. Genesis chapter 39. This morning our key scripture will be verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 39. And though I'll have many of these verses, in fact, all five of these verses up here at different times, I'd like you to see it in your own Bible so you have a reference for where it is and you can turn back to it later. Joseph's Journeys, Part 4. This is called Blessed to Bless. Say that with me. Blessed to Bless. Blessed to Bless. One more time together. Blessed to Bless. From the heights of a great and exciting set of dreams, from favor and love and acceptance of his father, to the rejection of his brother and the dishonor and the disgrace of being sold to merchants, God kept his hand on Joseph. Have you ever, probably like he must have you ever wondered, God, where did you go? Ever had a tough time where you wondered, God, where did you go? Are any of you ever honest? I see one head shaking, yeah. Ever have a promise that you wonder how come it seems to be taking forever to see it fulfilled? Wonder if it ever will be fulfilled? Ever feel blessed one moment, and then you finally have peace, and then the next moment that's dashed to discouragement and disappointment? Ever experience it? How do you handle life's disappointments? How do you handle life's successes? And you know, sometimes that's the greater test. People that are filled and satisfied always rarely have a need for God as deeply as it should be. So this is number 4. The ride's been a little bit bumpy. Last week we talked about divine bumps in life. The week before we talked about the successful mess. And Pastor Kev, aren't you ever going to talk about anything positive? Yeah, this morning we will. Isaiah 40, verse 31 is a good note for you to have. Isaiah 40, verse 31. And if you want to turn to it, you're welcome to, but keep your hand in Genesis chapter 39. Up here from the New King James, please read it aloud with me. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes the journey gets weary. Sometimes we feel faint. But have you ever seen the blasts of winds come and those eagles spread their wings gloriously, majestically, and just ride on the updraft? They just ride on the tough winds that blow. And that's how God wants us to be refreshed in His presence, to ride right over the difficulties in life that come. Doesn't mean there aren't difficulties, but it means we can overcome them by the grace of Jesus. From the bottom of a pit, Joseph is then sold by his family into slavery in a foreign country. He's got to be left wondering, how will the will of God, how will those dreams ever come to pass now? Did I miss it? God, where are you? And he goes on a journey to a place he never asked to go. He never wanted to go. Tested by trials, sifted by success. Let's pick up the story. Number one, God positioned him. Say that with me. God positioned him. Genesis 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. This isn't where Joseph wanted to be, being sold as a slave. Wait a minute. A day ago, I had a multicolored coat that showed my royalty, and it was from my dad, and I had favor, and I was in a family, and I had a home, and all I did was go out and obey my dad to check on my brothers, and I had a nice, warm place to be and to go. And Lord, since I'm doing your will, why do I have trouble? My friends, you got trouble. Right here in River City. That starts with T and that rhymes with P and that stands for... Okay. Since I'm doing your will, Lord, why do I have trouble? Maybe God is positioning you. Maybe God's getting you in place for your miracle where he shows himself to you. J. Vernon McGee, Pastor Sherry opens our services with the inspiration of the Word and of some great commentary. She loves J. Vernon McGee, and so do I. We quote him sometimes, but he's reading in this section of Scripture and his thoughts on it. There's no person, his thoughts were, in the Old Testament in whose life the purpose of God is more clearly seen than Joseph. But watch this. The hand of God is upon him, the hand of God is leading, and that's evident. But Joseph is the one patriarch to whom God did not appear directly. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all saw him. They all heard him, face to face, directly. Not Joseph. Maybe that gives people like us hope who feel like we haven't directly heard a booming voice from heaven. But the direction of God is more in Joseph's life than almost any other person in the Old Testament. He's a great example of Romans 8:28. You'll see it up there. And we know that all things, how many?
All.
Come on, church, how many?
All
things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called, the called, according to His purpose. Hebrews 12, verse 6, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receives. Because I loved my kids when they were growing up, I brought discipline into their life. Because I loved them, not because I didn't like them, not because I didn't want them, I wanted them to know the Lord and be safe. And how many know the word know is as important to teach a kid as the word yes? And today's generation doesn't hear it enough. Amen?
Amen.
Or oh no. We have a group of entitled people. Not all of them. There's fantastic, sold out believers who are kids who are ushering in the next wave, and you pray to God you can catch up with them in the presence of the Lord. But the issue is so many people, not just kids, don't understand or respect the word no. And folks, when God says no, it means
no.
No. So what do we have? The Lord disciplining, chastening, and positioning Joseph. Please listen carefully. J. Vernon McGee said, if we are the children of God, in the will of God, I know it's not up there, so hang in there. If we are the children of God, in the will of God, we can have the assurance of God that nothing comes to us without His permission. I say it again, that nothing comes to us without His permission. Now, if you remember, in the book of Job, Job 1 verse 10, Satan asks God to let the hedge down that protects Job. And even if Satan gets God's permission to test us, like with Job, all things work together for our good, the Bible says. Come on, someone say amen.
Amen.
All things work together for our good. Isaiah 49 verse 16 says, please read it with me. It's good to remember. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Do you believe that's true? Where will I find your name this morning? On the palms of Jesus' hands. Say it with me. He has me in the palm of His hands. He wants to bless me and do me good. Come on, shake your neighbor and say it. He wants to bless me and do me good. More than you. No, don't add that last part. He wants to bless me and do me good. Now, his name is really pronounced Potiphar. Can you say it with me? Potiphar. That's how it's really pronounced. We call it Potiphar. It's easier to pronounce that way. But Potiphar. He was a high Egyptian official. He could have been, as you read the commentaries, he could have been their chief of police, if you will. He could have been in charge of several treasury fields and treasuries. He could and probably possibly was a eunuch, because they would do that to those who watched over Pharaoh's treasuries so they wouldn't be distracted but care for the treasures. Interestingly enough, if you're familiar with the story of Potiphar and Joseph, we don't hear from him again once he discharges Joseph and puts him in prison. So he was blessed while he blessed the one who blessed him. Interesting. How many know that, like with Joseph, when you come into the room with your family at Thanksgiving, with your neighbors, on your job, when you walk into the room, if Jesus Christ lives in your heart, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Who walked into the room when you walked into the room? And you have opportunity to bring the blessing and presence of God everywhere you go. Say amen.
Amen.
Or oh no. No, no, let's say amen.
Amen.
Potiphar. God had this guy by this 17-year-old kid. Looked a little like our buddy. Go ahead. Stand up. Go ahead. Stand up there. Samuel. 17 years old. Thank you, Samuel. Thank you. So he's 17. He's a strapping youth. He's got his whole life ahead of him. How many think he would make a fantastic slave to buy at the marketplace? Because he's going to give a good return on the investment. And he has Potiphar buy this young man. How many think God was knowing what he was doing? Positioning him right where he belonged. Can we trust that God has us right where we belong? Can we trust that he places us where we will need to be, if we'll trust him, if we'll let him? Sometimes it's a bumpy ride getting there, amen? God prospered him. First, God positioned him. Now, God prospered him. Verses 2 and 3. The Lord was, say it with me, with Joseph. And he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw, say it with me, please, that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord, say it with me, made all he did to prosper in his hands. The Hebrew word with is the word, it looks like, see, what does it look like? Say it with me. You know how you pronounce that? Yosef. No matter what you go through, when you're in the hand of God, just if you want to be a Hebrew scholar now, you want to remember your Hebrew, just say Yosef. Turn to each other and say, you're safe. That's literally what it means. You're safe. You're doomed? Is that what I heard? No, no, no. No. You're safe. You're safe. So the word, he is with you. And when you want to remember that God is with you, just say that little funny thing. You're safe. He was prospered. You're safe in God's hands. He was successful. And the King James says he was a prosperous man. The Hebrew literally to the word prosperous and successful means to push forward. To push forward. God now, he brought him out of a pit. He took him down to Egypt. And he's now at a place in Potiphar's house. Pat, if you'll put that one up, please. He's at a place in Potiphar's house. He's come all the way down from Canaan land. And he's now down over in the Nile in Egypt area with Potiphar and Pharaoh. And God put him right where he belonged. He brought him out of a pit. He got him sold. He was bought by this great captain of the guard and this person in Pharaoh's house. And now God is going to start pushing him forward. In everything that he did, he was successful and prosperous. The master saw it. The master saw it, the Bible says. Do you know what that literally means? His controller. Ever have any problems with anybody who seemed to have a controlling spirit? His controller, his sovereign, if you will, is what the Hebrew means, literally had eyes to see, to notice, and to recognize something. That God was with him. Now, Joseph may have been wondering if God was with him. But Potiphar saw that he was. Potiphar didn't even know the God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he knew that Joseph's God was with him. He could see something special on this 17-year-old young man sold on an open slave trading market. Church, we chafe against what God brings into our lives sometimes. We chafe against it, where we end up having to go, what we end up having to do. It rubs us raw, and we don't always like it, and we fight it, and we struggle, and we're just like that little kid's cat who needed to turn around, and then the stroking would be okay. You remember that story? We just go, wah, wah. Why doesn't the cat turn around? Sometimes we need to turn around and see it from God's perspective. The Bible says God made everything, all, to prosper in Joseph's hand. God saw to it that his plan was being pushed forward through Joseph. Church, when you are surrendered to Jesus, you are engraved on the palms of his hands. And no matter how tough it gets, God will continue to prosper and push you forward. Does it always mean your bank book is full? No, I'm not talking that kind of prosperity. It can't include that. When you tithe and give to the Lord, I believe the Lord will provide and bless his people. I believe that with all my heart. But I'm not preaching a prosperity doctrine. Sometimes prosperity is in your soul, where you have peace. Everybody's around you falling apart in the difficulties of circumstance. You may not know what's happening, but you have the peace that passes all understanding, and his name is Jesus. Maybe we need to remember, when you've received favor at work, when others bless you, when your neighbors praise you, remember, God is the one who's prospering you. Thanksgiving, Black Friday, lust, greed led to death. But when we give thanks, it leads to life and blessing. Turn to each other and say, thanks for being you. Thanks for being you. Look at the smiles on your faces. It's a lot better, isn't it? Show me your teeth. Let me see. That's what I used to say to my kids when they'd frown at me. Show me your teeth. Number three, God promoted him. God promoted him. God positioned him. God did what? What was number two? What's prosper, right? God prospered him. Number three, God promoted him. Verse 4. So Joseph found favor, and the King James said Joseph found grace in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. All that he had he put under his authority. The word favor in the Hebrew literally means graciousness, kindness, beauty, favor. Joseph was cared for because God gave him favor with his boss. God gave him favor with his dad. God gave him favor. Let's talk again about his boss. Did you always feel like you had great favor with your boss? Not always. Many times, but not always. His master, his controller. We chafe, or we can, against our bosses when our work relationship was underway. Some have retired, but you remember the days when it was tough. But God somehow, if we'll walk with him through it, teaches us how to prosper in spirit, soul, and body while someone else may be mistreating us in our own mind. But how many understand God requires us to help someone else bring their vision to pass before many times he will release us to bring our own vision to pass? It's truth. God will require of us a servant's heart and to learn it. And though we might chafe against it, God will teach us and train us before he releases us to do what's on our heart to do. So you thank God at the end. How many had some really tough teachers in school? Some really hard disciplinarians? How many think those were the same people who probably taught you the most? Same hands go up. Sometimes it's that way in life, and sometimes it's that way on the job. How many think Potiphar probably wasn't the nicest guy on the block? He probably had some mastering that he did and some authority he wielded, and sometimes he was probably wrong, and Joseph was there serving him all the way because he was serving God. Sometimes it's like that. And the Bible says in the Hebrew, that word is Sharath, served, is Sharath, and it means to attend to, as a menial or worshiper, to contribute to, a contributor to. Say it with me. I am here to contribute to other people's lives. I am here to bless and contribute to other people. Wait a minute. I got a coat of many colors. I'm the favorite son. I'm no servant. And God says, okay, we'll let you serve till you are. Until that servant's heart is worked into us. Pastor Carl's book on the activated church is a fantastic book, probably the best I've ever read on getting a servant's heart involved in the church. How many understand that 100% of the members of the church are to be actively involved in ministry and service? It's not just a few who do the work of the ministry. The leadership teaches the saints to do the work of the ministry. That's what the Bible says. We're all involved in ministry and all called to have servants of hearts, servants' hearts. If you hate what you're doing and you hate what's going on and it's not illegal, if you've got somebody doing something illegal, get out of there. But if you just hate it and it rubs you wrong, I know this is kind of the nasty reality of now daily life, but if you just hate it and you chafe and you can't stand it and you can't stand your boss, don't look at me so holy. Anybody ever been there?
Sure.
If you resist God, He has His ways of prolonging the dealing. Lord, get me out of here! He goes, I'm going to keep you there, honey. Just long enough
till you get
this. You know, it's like they used to say to the preacher, how can you keep teaching us the same thing over and over again? I'll teach it till you get it. But it's true. And sometimes, you know, the Lord, I remember having so much frustration sometimes. And I was going through a particularly tough time. And it seemed like every time I turned around, I was frustrated. And I was upset at God, you know. Can you say that in church? I was angry. And I'm kind of a passionate guy anyway. So, And I remember saying to Jesus, if one of these things happened just one more time, I'm going to blow a cork. And 10 minutes later, same thing happened again. And it was like, there's a scripture that says, the Lord sits in heaven and laughs. And all I could do, when I saw it right in front of my eyes, 10 minutes later, you know what I did? I started to laugh. So all I could do is, okay, God, you apparently have me right where you want me. Because, you know, brick wall in front, brick wall in back, there's something here, something there. I guess I'm not going anywhere right now. You know, Jonah tried to run away from God, and guess what he ran into? The deep blue sea. He got swallowed by a whale. Till that whale finally couldn't handle him anymore and puked him out on the shore. Sorry. Well, what did he do first? He said, okay, Lord, I'll surrender to you in the midst of this problem. And then the whale spit him up. And he probably had seaweed wrapped around his head when he walked into Nineveh to preach. God knows. God knows. The point is, sometimes life is, it is, guys, we can be real. Sometimes life's frustrating. And you figure, Lord, why don't you take this away? And Jesus said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But your will, not mine. Hebrews 5, verse 8 tells us, though he was a son, meaning Jesus, yet he learned obedience. Please read it with me. By the things which he suffered. Joseph teaches us how to go through tough times. And the key here is serve. Then God had Pharaoh promote him. He served right where he was. And then God promoted him. So read the three with me. What are the three? God positioned him. God what?
Prospered
him. Then God promoted him. Fourthly, I wish I had another P. I'm just going to say it this way. God blessed him. God blessed him. Verse 5. So it was from the time that he had made him an overseer of his house and all that he had. Say it with me, please. That the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Now stop right there. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The scripture shows us the Egypt and the Egyptians was a type of the world. And we can sometimes get so holy, we don't want anything to do with the world, don't want to touch them, those nasty now people, don't want anything to do with them, don't want anything to do with those terrible sinners. And Jesus says, wait a minute, I put you there so people could see me right in the midst of the darkness. Where does the light shine brightest, church?
In the darkness.
in the dark times. So what does it say? He made him overseer of his house. The Lord blessed what? The Egyptian's house. People in the world get blessed. All we need is for Bill Gates to just tithe once here. We can do a few things, you know, but the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. The word blessed is barak, means to kneel. It's a word used also for worship, to kneel, to bless, salute. He was kneeling down. In essence, you could consider it praying for, blessing, doing everything he could, not to prosper a sinner, but to prosper the one the Lord gave him to work for. When you go into that place of work, you should be there to prosper your boss, to prosper the business. If you tear it down like a lot of people want to do nowadays, you tear down where you work, you destroy it, where's your job going to come from? Huh? Yeah. You hear what I'm saying? It was a worldly boss. I know some of you aren't working much anymore, but apply it where it belongs. And people, friends, neighbors. Listen, if you don't think I don't go through this with my boss, that's me. I have words with me. It's all real. That's all I'm saying. It's real. If we let it live, it's real stuff. It's right where the rubber hits the road. His boss isn't a Christian. His boss may not always be a nice guy. His boss may be in the 1% loaded with provision. And let me show you what you don't see. You don't see Joseph saying, you're unfair to have your provision, and that needs to be mine, and I want the government to take it from you and give it to me. Okay, I stopped preaching and went to politics, didn't I? I'm sorry. But it's got a principle, doesn't it, in the Scripture? And that's the way it works for most 17-year-old kids. They don't start at the top. How many know that burger place you worked for wasn't a career job? Okay, move on, Kevin. That's enough this morning. All right. Instead of demanding what he had, Joseph served him and blessed him. And through Joseph, God prospered him. Joseph is, say it with me, blessed to bless. And everybody around him was blessed. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Everything he had is blessed because Joseph is there blessing, serving, and God's moving through him. Your job, your boss, your home, your neighborhood, your church, your friends, your family, the grocery store, the person who cut you off, taking your parking spot, the shopping malls. I'm sorry, say it with me, would you? The shopping malls. Everywhere you go, you bring the presence of the Lord. You guys, this is just real. We're into a busiest shopping season of the year, most merchants hope. And I hope so, too. I do. I hope they're prospered. Because if they're prospered, we're all prospered. So I do hope they're prospered. But you know what they need? They don't need us to be another angry person in line. No matter how frustrating it gets, they don't need us to be another yeller at them. Somehow, God help us. And that's real, isn't it? Somehow, God help me. So that we can shine His light and be a blesser wherever we go. Whatever we do. Let them take a look at you and go, man, you're different out of everybody else that I've dealt with in my line today. You're different. What is it? His name's Jesus. Bless to bless. Blessed to bless. What are you doing? I just came to be a blessing. I just came to be a blessing. And they light up. John 3, verses 16 and 17. Please read it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Instead of getting caught up in a season of greed, be caught up with Jesus. And be a blessing. And be a blessor. You are blessed, so you can bless. I'm going to share one final thought. I'm going to be honest with you. You know me. I am very burdened for our country. I'm burdened for the loss of morals, the degradation of our society. There's a verse I quote quite a bit, and I think it's true. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I believe there's an onslaught against the foundations of our country. And we are watching change, not in positive ways, take place on the right hand and on the left. And I'm going to be honest enough to tell you that as I sit grieved about it, I can focus on it every day and get angry and frustrated and discouraged. And like you and me, we can get caught up because there are a lot of conspiracy theories, many of which have a portion of truth to them, I'm sure. Maybe not all, and I don't believe all conspiracies. But you know what I'm saying. They're out there, and you can listen to them, and you can be angry all day long, day in, day out. And God is angry at sin, but we've got to remember God's angry at sin and loves those sinners, of whom we were chief. And it all sets us up for how we go out into the world to minister. We want to be like Jesus. We want to care like him, be conformed to his image, help change the world. How did he do it? How did he do it? Let it be said of us as it was of Jesus. And I have a reference up there, and I'll read it to you. Acts 10, verse 38 says, listen to this. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Church, we have a society of people oppressed by the devil who need us to walk around loving our Savior and loving other people and blessing. We've come to bless. We're blessed to bless. Would you stand with me? If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart, I pray there's encouragement for you. No condemnation. We're here to pray for you. And I just am honest with you because I think we all need to know we're in this together. Has anybody had trouble with any of these things like I have upon occasion? Okay, three of you. Thank you very much. But Joseph is quite an example for us as he prospered before the Lord by the hand of Jesus. And God wants to do the same thing through us. And there's a whole bunch of people in your family, on your neighborhoods, and the malls and in the blocks, wherever you go, who need the blessing of the Lord through you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for you being so good to minister to us and to care. Thank you for loving us so much. Jesus, thanks for your example. You went about doing good and bringing blessing into people's lives. Yes, you bring conviction. Yes, you bring change. Yes, you clean us up and change us. But Lord, help us love like you love, to share and shine you forth like you do. We love you, Lord Jesus. Bless each person who's here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord spoke to your heart this morning. You want to take time at the altars or this front area, come on up. If you want prayer, we'll be honored to pray for you. If you need prayer for healing in your body, we'll be honored to pray for you. If you'd like a free release in the Holy Spirit, that's not happened for you yet, we'll be honored to pray for you. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say,
rejoice.
Lord, that's our prayer this day, that you'll have your way in us as we go forward to shine your presence. Lord, we thank you that we get to be your people. And I pray your blessing on this congregation, these precious people, as we go forward today. Let us remember we are blessed to bless. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Go forward and prosper in the Lord. God bless.